You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
Congress used to be a key player in war, and it's not anymore. And I think largely that's because of the technology that we're now using and the dilemmas that we're not facing.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, U.S. warfare. Do drones undermine democracy?
The conduct of war is going high-tech. The U.S. military has 20,000 robots to fight its battles. And with these unmanned machines, often called drones, it's possible to strike at our enemies from thousands of miles away while limiting field combat and potential fatalities of U.S. personnel. But the use of drones does more than that, notes senior fellow Peter W. Singer, something that might make the founding fathers shudder.
We're talking about what used to be something serious. What is something serious still today? War. And yet we're not treating it that way. And the interesting thing, the important thing here, is that we're just at the start of this. This technology that we're using now, unmanned systems, sometimes called drones, this is not just a game changer, but it's something that's here to stay. That is, the military's gone from using a handful of these to having more than 7,000. They're not going away. So the impact of this technology on our political discourse is going to continue. But it also applies to other areas. We see other new technologies being used that allow us to carry out action abroad without sending people into harm's way. That's one of the essences of cyber warfare. And so this dilemma of how do you authorize something when you don't have people going into harm's way, but you are engaging in a big decision, this is something that the political body politic has to figure out. It's not just something for the executive branch. It's for Congress, it's for the media, and it's for citizens.
Well, Peter, what happened? Did Congress drop the ball, or was it a combination of things?
We don't declare war anymore. The Constitution said we're supposed to, and yet we haven't done that since 1942 against the last of the Axis powers. We've engaged in things that we would think of as war, but we haven't formally declared it, haven't had Congress sign their names to it.
Why? What changed?
The president is the commander-in-chief of the forces in war, but Congress decides when and where we go to war. The problem is now we have this technology that the founding fathers couldn't have even dreamed of, where it's allowed us to disentangle these two parts of war. We can go out and blow things up, but not have to send people into harm's way. And that's a positive because you aren't seeing those condolence letters going to sons and daughters. The problem is that it's by breaking that connection, Congress's role is essentially, it's not playing a role in when and where we go to war, at least what we used to think of as war.
So the situation now is that the executive branch, the president, is more or less deciding where we go and when?
We have set a huge, huge precedent now that we may well regret later on. And the precedent is this, and it carries across whether you're talking about the operations in Pakistan on the CIA side and the ones in Yemen, you name it, or the overt side with the Libya campaign. The precedent has been set in the last year that as long as you do not have U.S. troops going into harm's way, the executive branch can engage in these actions. Congress does not have to declare war, does not have to publicly authorize it. That is an interesting precedent when you pull back and say, okay, what about when it's scenarios that might be a little bit more complex that aren't connected directly to Al-Qaeda or 9/11 on the counterterrorism side? Or there may be ones where we don't have an obvious situation like a dictator ready to massacre his public or the like.
Some people describe the use of drones as being riskless or without cost to us as a nation. Is that an accurate depiction?
No war is riskless. There's always consequences. And that's something that the founding fathers recognized. That's why they built it into our Constitution that way, the very strong checks and balances, dividing it across the different parts of government. Commander-in-chief in war on the executive branch side, Congress authorizing it, judicial branch weighing in on the legality. That's why we have that division. The problem is you may have consequences and risks that come out of this. An example would be the strikes that we've conducted in Pakistan are intended to stop terrorism. They've also had a blowback effect where, for example, the would-be Times Square bomber got into terrorism out of his anger over the strikes designed to stop terrorism. Now, it doesn't mean you don't carry out those strikes, but you have to recognize that when you engage in acts of force, there's consequences. And that's why you got to think dearly about them. And that's why you don't let a small group of people in a room, nameless, make a decision but not have to explain them.
Peter, what does this say about us as a nation? If the use of drones eliminates the need for, or certainly, you know, the practice of declaring war, and we're sort of just going into battle against the dictates of the Constitution, what does this say about our values, about what we stand for as a nation?
The nation that we are depends on following our legal codes, following our political structures and values. That's what makes us a superpower, is not just our actual hard power, but the power of our ideals and actually following those ideals. And the challenge is that we are adopting a technology at a 21st century pace, that is at this rapid, exponential pace, and yet our reaction to it in terms of our politics, our policy, our law, our ethics, is this glacial 20th century pace. And so the division between them, the distance between the reality of what we're doing and our politics, is growing wider and wider. And so we need to catch that up. And part of that just comes down, at the end of the day, to people being willing to face the reality of what's happening and then stake their name to the decisions that are happening. That is, stop denying that we are conducting operations that we cannot confirm or deny and yet taking credit for them in the media. If you're doing something, explain why and justify it.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, iPhone, or iPad, go to brookings.edu/mobile.